All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of Genesis again, and chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. It is said that Dr. Harry Ironside, was the pastor for some 18 years of the Moody Memorial Church there in Chicago. And it said that Dr. Harry Ironside, he said at one time that his greatest and most fervent prayer was that he might finish well. In other words, Dr. Ironside wanted to be able to say when he came to the end of his life, the same thing the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. That was Ironside's desire. That was Dr. Ironside's desire. And certainly that's a worthy prayer to pray. It's a prayer that all of us should be praying, because there are so many people who start out well in their Christian life. So many people who start well, but then things happen and they begin to fall away and slide away, and they're sort of like those Galatians that the Apostle Paul wrote about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. He said, "Ye did run well, but who hindered you?" You started good. You were doing great, but who hindered you? Joseph was a man who not only started well, as we have seen over the past weeks, he ended well. In fact, this last chapter of Genesis covers the last half of Joseph's life. Did you know that? The last chapter covers the last half of his life. In other words, this 50th chapter actually covers 54 of Joseph's 110 years. Nearly half. And it was during these final years of Joseph's life that we find three events are taking place. We're going to be looking at these over the next couple of weeks. We're going to look at the first one here. It began with the passing of Joseph's father. Now, if you'll remember, we saw last time how that Jacob gave his patriarchal blessings to each of his sons. Remember, he called them into his by his bedside there. He gave each one the blessing. And when he was finished, the Bible says that he gave them some instructions. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 22, or verse 29 rather, to verse number 32, you'll find there he gave them some instructions concerning his burial place. And then he told Joseph before. He had told Joseph the same thing before, but now he informed his sons he is not to be buried in Egypt. He's not to be buried in Egypt, and he is to be buried in Canaan, where Abraham and Isaac and his forefathers are buried. He's to be buried in that same place. And so in chapter 49, verse 33, it says that when Jacob made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. In other words, he died. Now, there's something here I find quite interesting. You'll remember that Joseph was how old when he was taken into Egypt as a slave? Do you remember that? How old was he? 17 years old. Very good. You were listening, weren't you? Wow. All right. Yeah, 17 years old when he was taken into Egypt as a slave. That's found in Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. But then later on we find out that when Jacob appeared before Pharaoh, in Genesis chapter 47, verse 9, at that time Jacob was 130 years old When he came before Pharaoh, Joseph brought him in, introduced him to the Pharaoh. You remember we talked about that? At that time, Jacob was 130 years of age. When he died, according to Genesis 47, verse 28, when Jacob died, he was 147 years old. 130, all right? 147, that comes to, hey, that's 17 years, isn't it? That's 17 years. In other words, what we find here is there are two periods of 17 years. Two periods of 17 years. Now, let me draw some parallels here that we find. First of all, in the first 17 years of Joseph's life, there was joy. In the first 17 years, it began with joy. Remember the joy Jacob had when his beloved wife Rachel, after being barren, finally she has a son. What joy. What joy that was for Jacob that his wife gave birth to Joseph. That 17-year period, the first 17 years of Joseph's life, began with joy. By the way, the last 17 years of Jacob's life. The last 17 years of Jacob's life also began with joy. You remember he found out that his son, who he thought was dead, is actually still alive? And he goes down into Egypt and now he's reunited with what great joy that must have been. Not only that, notice this. The first 17 years of Joseph's life saw Jacob providing for him. Right? The first 17 years of Joseph's life, Jacob was providing for him. But the last 17 years of Jacob's life, Joseph was providing for his dad. Right? Joseph was providing for him. We also find that in the first 17 years of Joseph's life, we saw Jacob honoring his son. We saw Jacob honoring his son. Remember, he gives him the position of the shepherd of the family. He gives him the coat of many colors. He gives him all these wonderful things. Jacob is honoring his son. But then in the last 17 years of Jacob's life, we find that now Joseph is honoring his father. We find how he brings him in to the palace there in Egypt, presents his humble father who is a shepherd before the great Pharaoh who is the king of all the land. And Joseph honors his father in that way. The first 17 years of Joseph's life ended with mourning. It ended with great sorrow. Joseph was sold into slavery. And Jacob is led to believe that his son is dead, that he's been killed. And that 17 years that they had together, it ends with great heartbreak and with great sorrow. In fact, the Bible says that back in chapter 37, verse 33, when Jacob heard about it, he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son for many days. Now we come to the last 17 years of Jacob's life, and those 17 years are also going to end up, only now it's going to be Joseph who is mourning for his father. That's kind of the way of life, isn't it? It's kind of the way of life. Parents have children, and then time goes by, and then children have parents. Right? Children have parents. In fact, one of my great prayers is that God will allow me to live long enough to get even with my kids. One commentator, I think, summed it up very well. Here's what he said. He said, "These saintly deeds of Joseph in reciprocating his father's love, care, and honor are the opposite of the gross selfishness which is so evident today. Unfortunately, the attitude that many have toward their parents is basically can be summed up in three words. Stick, spend, and schedule." They all start with an S. I knew you'd like that. stick spend schedule. What does that mean? It means stick them in a nursing home, spend everything they have saved throughout their whole life, and try to schedule time to go to their funeral when they die. Unfortunately, that's how many people deal with their parents, but that was not the case with Joseph. Wasn't the case with Joseph. In fact, Joseph fulfilled the law of God before that law of God was ever given on Mount Sinai, and he fulfilled it in this way when God said, Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother. Joseph did that. He did that before it was even commanded. And that's one reason why I've entitled the message. Did you notice the title? Joseph the Saint. Joseph the Saint. But now Jacob is dead. Israel is dead. And as we come to the text now, there are three things that I want us to notice together. First of all, letter A, the grief. The grief. Now you remember that when the Lord God commanded Jacob to go down to Egypt, He gave Jacob a wonderful promise. Remember, Jacob heard that his son was alive and he's wanting to go down to Egypt to be with his son. And you remember the Lord appeared to him, and here's what the Lord said. Genesis chapter 46, verse number 4, the Lord said to Jacob, I will go with thee. I'll go with thee down into Egypt. And I will also surely bring thee up again. In other words, I'm going to go with you. You're going to go down there, and then you're going to be there for a while. But then I'm going to bring you back again. But then he said, I want you to understand this. Joseph shall put his hands on thine eyes. Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. In other words, you're going to die there in Egypt. But your son Joseph is going to put his hand on your eyes and close your eyes when you're dead. He's going to close your eyes. And after closing the eyes of his beloved father, as God had commanded, we find a demonstration of the intensity of his love, the bitterness of his sorrow. In verse number 1 of chapter 50, it says, Then Joseph fell upon his father's face, and wept upon him, and kissed him. The grief. The grief. I have stood by the deathbed of a dying saint, stood there with family members, and I have watched as that person took their last breath. And when the realization hits that they're gone. I've seen family members fall on the body, weeping and crying in great sorrow because of the one that has left them. It's a heart-moving thing to see that, isn't it? It's a heart-moving thing to see that. And that's the same intense display of grief that we find Joseph giving to his father. As his father has gone into eternity. The grief. Letter B. There is the honor. The honor. Not only did Jacob honor, or not only was Jacob honored in his death, as we've already mentioned, he was honored in his life. His son honored him when he took him in to see Pharaoh, but now he's going to honor him again. And we see this honor is demonstrated in two ways. First of all, the money. The money. Joseph's position as the number two man in all of Egypt certainly gave him the power and also gave to him the possessions to provide Jacob with an elaborate and with an honorable funeral. An elaborate and an honorable funeral. And that's exactly what he did. Joseph was not like some who provide spectacular and elaborate funerals to salve their own conscience. Sometimes people treat their parents like dirt while they're alive, and then when they die, they try to make themselves feel better by giving them some great, wonderful funeral. I, as a parent, I can tell you, I'd rather my kids treat me right while I'm alive and put me in a cardboard box when I'm dead, okay? I would rather have it in life than when I'm not around to enjoy it. And so that's exactly what, Joseph was not that way. Joseph provided a spectacular and an elaborate funeral for his father, and it was a memorial to illustrate the beautiful relationship that they had enjoyed together. It was something that was given to show the sweet bond that they had enjoyed while Jacob was still alive. And so Joseph spared no expense. He spared no expense. He cut no corners to make Jacob's funeral just as nice as it possibly could be. And so therefore in verse 2, it says that Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. Now the process has been well documented in this embalming. The process has been well documented by ancient historians. It is said that when a body was embalmed, the first thing they would do is that the brain would be taken out through the nostrils by means of a crooked piece of iron, like a hook, and they would go in, they would pull the brains out through the nostrils, and then the cranial cavity would be washed and cleansed with various drugs and spices would be washed through there to clean everything out. And so that was step number one. And then they would make an incision on the left side of the body, and then the internal organs in the abdomen, all of that would then be removed. And in the abdominal cavity then, they would fill it up after washing it out with wine and different aromatic liquids. They would fill it with all kinds of spices, and then they would sew it shut. The body would then be steeped in a bicarbonate of soda solution to preserve it. And after that was done, it would then be wrapped in linen bandages. It would be smeared over with a type of gum. It would be decorated with different amulets and different things. And then it would be covered with a linen shroud. And when all of that was done, it was finally ready to be put into the coffin. Now, the whole process that I have just described for you took about a month. Took about a month to do all of that. And so we're told in verse number 3, you'll notice, we're told that 40 days were fulfilled for him. 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. So this was not a cheap, hurry up, get it done, I'll give you $15, you know. No, I mean, this is the whole rigmarole. 40 days. 40 days they're working on the body of Jacob, preparing it for the honorable, elaborate funeral that Joseph desires to give to his father. And then we see number 2, the mourning. The mourning. In verse number 3, we find the Egyptians mourn for him 70. That's 70. They mourn for him 70 days. In other words, the period of national mourning continued for 30 days after the embalming was finished. After the embalming process was completed, then for 30 days more, they have a period of national mourning. And this certainly shows the great honor that was being shown to Jacob. It shows the great honor that Joseph was extending to his dad, because a fellow by the name of Diodorus Siculus, who's a Roman historian who lived about the time of Julius Caesar, he wrote that when the Egyptians mourned for their kings, this is the Pharaoh, when Egyptians mourned for their king, they mourned 72 days. They mourned for Jacob 70. In other words, that's pretty near king status, isn't it? Pretty near king status. And then we see number three, the multitude. After the days of mourning were ended, verse 4, verse number 5, you can see it there. Joseph sent messengers to the Pharaoh, and he informs the Pharaoh of the promise that he had made to his dad, that he was not to be buried in Egypt. He's to be taken to Canaan. He's to be buried with his fathers there. And he also requested that he might be released from his duties. That he might be released from his duties so that he might fulfill the promise. And in verse 6 and 7, we find the response. Pharaoh said, "Go up and bury thy father according as he made thee swear." And Joseph went up to bury his father. It has been said that if you want to know the greatness of a man, look at how many people follow him to his final resting place. That kind of gives you an idea. A lady by the name of Patricia Kruppa, I think is how you pronounce the name. She wrote a book called The Life and Times of Charles Spurgeon, great preacher of years gone by. And in her book, that biography that she wrote of that great Baptist preacher, she said that when he died, that there were 60,000 people who passed by to pay homage during the 3 days that his body laid in state at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. She also said that there was a funeral parade following from the church going to the place where his body was buried. There was a funeral parade that was 3.2 kilometers long, one right after the other, following behind, going up to the Upper Norwood Cemetery, and that there were some 100,000 people who stood along the way as the procession went by. Now, that's a great man. Want to know how great a man is? See how many people follow him to his final resting place. And when Joseph carried his father's body to its final resting place, he did not go alone. There was a multitude that went with him. It was a multitude that was made up of two different groups. First of all, there were Egyptians there. The Bible says in verse 7, "And with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt." In other words, this was Egypt's who's who represented there. All of them are there. All of them are there. And not only were there Egyptians there, but there was also family. Family. In verse number 8, all the house of Joseph and his brethren and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. So the little kids didn't go, but all of the older folks, those who were adults, all of them made the journey to go to Canaan for the burial of Jacob. And the multitude was so great. This Egyptians and family members and all of it, the whole thing was so large that the Bible says in verse number 9 that there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a great company. No, not just a great company. What does it say? It was a very great company. This is a bunch of people. It's a bunch of people. And certainly all of these things heaped honor on the old patriarch. All of these things that happen, they heap honor upon him. But then I want you to notice letter C, the burial. The burial. In verses 10, 11, well, verse 10 to verse number 13, the Bible says, "And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And so we see the final burial is made. 7 days of mourning, and then the burial takes place there in the land of Canaan, buried within the same cave as Abraham and Isaac and their family. And so certainly we can say then that Jacob, he went out in a blaze of glory. He went out in a blaze of glory. But here's the thing I want you to understand. The reason why he was so honored at his death was because of Joseph's life. Do I need to say that again? The reason why Jacob was so honored in his death was because of the life of Joseph. In other words, it was Joseph's godly character that brought great honor to his dad. And the Egyptians made sure, all of Pharaoh's house and all of the leaders in the land of Egypt, they made sure that Jacob was greatly honored. Why? Because of the great respect that they had seen, or the great respect they had for the life of Joseph. Now there's a great lesson here for us. You see, our behavior as God's children. Got it? Our behavior as God's children will either cause our Heavenly Father, number one, to be honored. How we behave can cause Him to be honored. Isn't that what Jesus said? Remember in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify you, because you are such a wonderful guy. No. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. They see what's in your life and they glorify God because of what they see in you. See? So the way we live our life as the children of God, it can cause our Heavenly Father to be honored. Or if we go the other way, the way we live our life can cause our Heavenly Father to be dishonored. Remember King David? Man after God's own heart, committed his terrible sin of adultery and committed his terrible sin of murder. And you remember the prophet Nathan came and finally Nathan the prophet said, "Thou art the man. You are the one who is guilty. You're the one who is guilty." But then notice what he said. Here it is. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 14. Nathan the prophet said to David, "By this deed, because of what you have done, because of the bad choices that you have made and the bad decisions you have made and the wicked actions that you have become involved in, by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." In other words, instead of God's name being honored by David's actions, God's name is now dishonored. His name is blasphemed. Bottom line, let me say it again. The Egyptians honored Jacob because of the way Jacob's son lived. Because of the life they had seen in Joseph. I would ask you tonight, what is your life? What is your life doing for the name of God? What is your life doing for His? Is His name being blessed, or is it being blasphemed by the life that you live, by the choices that you make? What is your actions? doing for the name of God. May God help each one of us, like Joseph, to bring honor to our Heavenly Father by the lives that we live from day to day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word.